pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Good morning. Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning, 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the show, all you got to do is text me. Coming up on the program, Sam Roberts, he's been doing some polling this cycle. I don't think he's gotten into any general election polling, but I kind of get a lay of the land for what's going on in Alabama. Some of the margins may be interesting. The outcomes are, I think, kind of baked in now. But, we're essentially going to baselessly speculate about the state of the statewide elections that are going to go Republican, but just how Republican are they going to go? Because Doug Jones is throwing some haymakers. Tuberville responds, but right now, most of the, I guess, energy is on the Jones side. He's just not a lot of Democrats to rally up here. But that matters. It could impact the margins, and we're going to get into that here in about a half hour. Paul DeMarco will be with us in the 10 o'clock hour. His thoughts on, state of Alabama approving another $100+ million prison bond, or up to bonding capacity, I should say. And you know they're going to borrow it. Do you feel safer? Do you feel $123 million safer now? Better yet, do you feel $1.3 billion safer? Huh? Because I'm going to guess you don't. That, and then in the 11 o'clock hour, Will Hampson, PTA Public Affairs. There are some elections. I think New Hampshire one's fascinating, especially on the Democrat side. The front runner up there is a guy named Chris Pappas. And he was on one of the Sunday shows, I think with Margaret Brennan, Face the Nation. Or it could have been Christian Walcott. Whatever. He is on one of the Sunday shows. And there's polling out there right now that shows that as a Republican pickup. There's a Sununu running, and Sununus tend to do well in New Hampshire. But they also asked Pappas if he would vote for Chuck Schumer to be majority leader. And he said he would have to wait and see. That's that implies some problems for Chuck Schumer. The guy who's the majority leader, or the minority leader, I should say, could be majority leader again. And he is supposed to be the guy that picks the candidates, raises money for them, have this fidelity, earned it through the purse strings as caucus leader. And guess what? He's not there, at least with the likely Democrat nominee in New Hampshire. Now who's he gonna? Who are they gonna get? I don't know. Who are they gonna vote for? Do we think Elizabeth Warren is going to be the next majority leader? Who knows? So we'll talk about that with Will and some other things going on around the country over time. I still spend some time on Pritchard and what needs to be done there. What needs to be done there within the law? I know some of you want to just disband the city. and build a wall between Mobile and Perch. You can't do that. Probably not going to work. No escape from New York or whatever. So that's on the radar as well. Some Alabama High School Athletic Association drama pertaining to this coach in Sims at Mary G. Montgomery. We could get into that throughout the program if you so choose. Anybody's got any thoughts on that? High School Athletic Association, you know where I am on it. I still think they're on borrowed time. You know, people won't go out and vote because of a tax increase or a changing veterans affairs or your PSC. However, they may be inclined to get engaged when it comes to high school football. They certainly would get engaged if it pertained to Alabama and potentially Auburn football. The legislature, just kind of, there's a lot of members chomping at the bit to do something there. And like I said, this high school athletic association regime has been operating the way they have based off of a decades old court order that sort of they view it puts them above politics, above the legislature. And it's a kind of a fascinating approach, but I feel like that credit card's running out. That's drying up. Because that could be challenged in court again. And there's no guarantee that stands. But that for that reason, there's this, I don't know, this assumption, this conventional wisdom that they operate above edicts from the government. They firmly believe that, clearly believe that. They try to the Choose Act saga. Hey, listen, you got a governor coming in who, you got two governors. I mean, Ivy was certainly pro school choice, but Tommy Tuberville's certainly school choicer too. And this agency, this governing body is anti-school choice. So we'll get into that throughout the program. Best talked about this yesterday. Doug Jones out. He's throwing haymakers, but he's also like he denigrated the National Guard. Let me kind of set this up because I think he got on his live stream. And if you haven't been paying attention, Tommy Tuberville's talked about getting Montgomery under control. It's got some crime problems. Well, the crime rates have gone down. Yeah, but people just don't feel safe. And you still hear the gunfire going off. And the most important thing is this notion that I guess just the most important thing is people just don't feel safe. And there's a track record. There was a mass shooting. There was the drive-by on Atlanta Highway that let the woman paralyzed from the waist down. And you've got to have a place where your state government can function and fulfill its obligations without the threat of some kind of violence, some kind of criminal element. It's got to be a safe, secure place. It's the same concept of Washington, D.C. You have a place where the federal government can function and people who work there don't get mugged or carjacked. So Tommy Reels talked about sending the National Guard. And Doug Jones is very dismissive of this concept. And it essentially what he said, he pointed to Washington, D.C. and said, well, they're planting flowers and handing out ice cream sandwiches. And it's not really having an impact on public safety, which is completely untrue. I don't know how much time Doug Jones spends outside of when he flies into Reagan or wherever, and then maybe he gets a ride share to the Capitol or whatever DNC inspired political apparatus's office. But you go to DC and tell you dirty Obama years, it was party central, it was a safe place. There was still crime you had to be aware of, but nothing like it is now. Sort of the Trump era, the Black Lives Matters era, and COVID really put turned it into a kind of a quasi dystopia. And there was just this dramatic increase in crime. I mean, it looked like Gotham City without Batman. And Trump sent, he deployed the National Guard, and it's deterred a lot of crime. He could say whatever he wants to say, but having been in that city, you sense a different attitude from people there. It's a safer place. You see the National Guardsmen in the highly populated areas, high traffic areas, densely populated. And they're just there. They're not, waving their guns around, but they're there. And that deters, I think, a lot of the criminal element. So I think our former junior United States senator is just way off base on this one. So, that's also, I saw this in Lanyap that Steve Marshall, the attorney general, has weighed in on the Tommy Tuberville residency saga. And he does not want to see this go forward. And he thinks that if the Supreme Court allows this to proceed, then you're going to have a lot of Ken McFeeters type, vanity candidates who had no prayer of winning high office, but they run and they're just going to start suing. He's come out, at least he filed a amicus brief discouraging this lawsuit from proceeding. And we can get into that here in just a moment. I'll pick that up on the other side. 251-343-0106 is the text line. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Killing time, flirting
with the flight attendant. It's the final week to enter the free FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em Challenge presented by Spring Hill Ace Hardware. Pick 10 games weekly for a shot at the big Spring Hill Ace grand prize. Sign up now at fmtalk1065.com/pick'em.
Oh, mama, can this really be the end? To be stuck inside a mobile with the Memphis Blues again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning, 251-343-0106. Back to the Tommy Tuberville thing. And the question is, does, the the way the Constitution is written, it doesn't say that you can't run for governor. It says you can't be governor. And this is what the Tuberville, and I think they're going to prevail in court. You can think whatever you want about Tuberville being a Florida man, or I think they're going to prevail in court. But it's not up to the courts to decide. The court's going to punt. I mean, the lower court judge, the Democrat judge, said as much. That this isn't a, there's actually a framework here established to determine if someone is eligible to be governor, then that would include the residency requirement. And it goes through the legislature, not the judiciary. So, like, whatever you want to, you know, you can decry Florida man or whatever, but the way it is being handled here, the court's not going to hear it. So if you want Tommy Tuberville, if you're a DEI texter who writes here, what a load of fiction about DC. Oh, that's not DEI. That's something that's mommy issues who is banned. If you want Tommy Tuberville disqualified, it has to be done by the Alabama legislature. Do you think the Alabama legislature is going to do that? I don't. But it's not going to be decided by the Alabama Supreme Court. What a load of fiction about DC. You don't even believe that nonsense. I totally believe that nonsense. It's not nonsense, but I totally believe it. I go to DC. DI Texture, have you ever even been to Washington, DC? When was the last time you were up there? You could tell a tangible difference. It's and I lived up there for 8 years, and I go back and visit. I know the town pretty well. It was kind of hairy there for a little bit. And these National Guardsmen have made a difference. You know, like, the only reason you guys are against this is because you have this Trump derangement syndrome. And because it was an idea that was born out of Donald Trump, you don't like it. If it were Joe Biden who did it, you'd be okay with it. If Joe Biden or Barack Obama deployed the National Guard for some kind of Tea Party rally or whatever, you would be for it. It's in the eyes of the beholder here. See, guys, you guys on the left, your credibility is tainted here because you're just going to be against everything he does. Butter and I, so Paul Feinbaum would have been our senator, the quarterback would have been our lieutenant governor, and Tuberville would have been appointed by the Republican Party to be governor. Well, he wouldn't have been appointed. He would have been voted on by Republican primary voters, Butter Knife. I live in Fairhope and make a good living. What's Tuberville going to do to lower taxes, improve mental health facilities, take a good hard look at Alta Point? Start widening some of the state highways we have in South Alabama. He's just copying Trump. I'm going to look into fraud. I'm going to look at bringing the National Guard. Can Tuberville be his own man? The only reason we have Tuberville is because he cannot win in Florida. The Republicans ran him in Alabama. Let me see here. The guy, Donald Trump wins Alabama by like a 2-1 margin. It's not even close. And you're saying the guy who is going to be governor should not mimic that. Just let me make sure here. You have a proven track record here of multiple elections, Republican primaries and general elections, when Donald J. Trump is on the ballot, who has overwhelming success. Those are the facts. And the guy who's going to be governor looks at what Donald Trump's doing. He says, well, we could do some of that here locally. Then you shouldn't do that. Remember, the game here is about winning elections. It's not about checking your policy wish list. Because you could talk about, what did you say here? Lower taxes, mental health facilities, Alta Point. Not exactly winning campaign issues. I'm sorry, Butter Knife. It may be very important to you, and it may be very important in reality, but the goal is to win the election right now, and then you enact your policies once you're elected. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show. on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning, 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the show, what you got to do, you got to text me, and I'll do my best to respond to whatever it is that may be on your mind. Joining us now is the publisher to Coleman Daily, but Sam Roberts joins us on the line. Sam, good morning. How are you?
Doing good, Jeff. How about you?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks for hopping on this morning. Well, you haven't done any polling, but I do think it's like kind of setting the predicate here, talking about like what is the November 3rd election going to be like. And you and I were kind of texting back and forth that probably some of these races are going to be maybe closer. It's just kind of the political headwinds out there. But a lot of these races and some of these down ballot races may even be contested. But it's one of those cycles. We've lived through them where it's a Republican in the White House and Democrats have a lot of enthusiasm. But at the top of the ballot, we got governor. We got Tommy Tuberville and Doug Jones. That one, I know there was some poll out there that showed like a 7-8 point margin or something. But, I'm not sure that that stands, but it's entirely feasible that that could be the state of the race, at least right now.
Yes, Jeff, I agree with you. I do think that is probably leaning a little bit towards the Democrats in this cycle, but I think it is closer than a lot of Republicans are given a credit to be. Right now, nationally, with the war, with gas prices and everything going on currently, the Democrats just have a lot of momentum going into the general election cycle, and I think that's dripping down all the way right here to our red state in Alabama. Doug Jones is going to be the first legitimate Democratic candidate that has been ran on the governor's ballot and since Walt Maddox. I would expect this to be the closest governor's race that we have had in Alabama in a long time. I don't see a scenario where Tuberville loses this race, but I do think this will be the highest percentage that we see a Democrat receive in Alabama over the past several cycles.
Yeah, it just seems, listen, Tommy Tuberville's got his Senate duties, but Doug Jones has been way more active out there. You see way more Doug Jones yard signs. You do sense a little more energy on that side. It's just the numbers are what makes it hard for the anybody running as a Democrat in this state.
It is. And, one thing that for the Republicans that nobody really knows right now is, we know there's been a massive influx of people in North Alabama, specifically in Madison and Limestone counties. We really don't know how many it is or how many are actual voters. That's one thing. And a lot of polling that we're seeing done, they're polling people that have participated in recent cycles. But over the past few years, we've had thousands and thousands and thousands of people move into Madison County that are probably not getting polled in this. I'm interested to see the turnout in Madison County. I don't think there's really any way to accurately project what's going to happen there. We don't really know, and I think that's going to have an impact on the governor's race and also a lot of local House and Senate races along with county races in Madison County and in Limestone County.
It's as if, this feels – Madison County, to me, is a lot like what's happened in Georgia over the last maybe 10, 15 years. That you just woke up one morning and you kind of knew this was a problem, and then all of a sudden it's blue. It's a blue state. Gwinnett and some of these counties that are suburbs, maybe they were moderate, maybe they leaned a little centrist or whatever. Now they're dark blue counties around Atlanta. And I think, like, we're going to look at November 3rd, and you go look around the state, yeah, that one is expected. Whoa, what happened in Huntsville? And, all of a sudden, Democrats that becomes more of a, you know, it's not like a woke lefty, but it's like a country club kind of Democrat that's going to do well there.
Yes, I agree with that. And there's just no way to really know how many are there. We know that there's a ton of people moved into Madison County. A ton of those people that have moved in are coming from areas where they're more likely to be Democrats. Like you said, we don't have any, I don't feel like we have the crazy liberals for the most part moved into that area, but it is people that are willing to vote Democrat come the November election. And Senator Tuberville has to work hard to gain their vote. I don't think he's in danger, but that could be the difference in this being a 7-point race and a 13-point victory for Tuberville come November.
Yeah, because like that part of North Alabama, look, it was one of the last holdouts for Democrats in this state. It was Bud Kramer. It was the TVA, the union. It's always been sort of a federal, you know, heavy area of the state. But the branding of the Democrat, you know, and you still have that legacy there, those legacy Democrats. But the people are moving in; they're taking government jobs. They're taking government contractor jobs, and these are people I think who are going to be predisposed to look at. They're not going to be Ron Paul libertarians. They're going to be people who kind of believe in a system and believe in the quote unquote goodness of government, and they're going to vote. They're not going to vote for a lot of these Republicans.
I agree. I think a lot of these people are going to be more moderates that are going to be willing to vote for some Republicans. But I think that, you know, more than anything, they're going to lean towards the Democratic Party. I expect some of the down ballot races like attorney general, lieutenant governor, some of those races to be more heavily Republican, even in these areas. But I think the issues for the Republican Party is going to come at the top of the ballot with the governor's race in areas like Madison County, Limestone County, where we've seen this massive influx of people, along with in South Alabama with the congressional race in the district with Shamari Figures and Rhett Marcus.
Yeah, the Rhett Marcus Figures race, and this is something else that we've been talking about a lot on the show. Rhett Marcus will have, he's got, you know, almost every Republican House member endorsing him. He's got a lot of things going for him. The problem I think he runs into, A, Shamari Figures is an incumbent, and, you know, the power of incumbency, you walk to the mailbox and you raise $1 million practically, that. And the other part of it is, Figures is, you know, claiming Montgomery as his home, and that's where the population is. Can he unite the Democratic Party, the activist wing, with the Joe Reed, you know, the loyal followers, the cult followers of Joe Reed? And that's what he did. I think he did that in the primary 2 years ago to be the Democrat nominee. If he can maintain that, like, he's got a real puncher's chance, because Rep Marcus from Coffee County, a rural part of the state, maybe will carry that county and Enterprise and probably Dothan, but they're going to be outnumbered.
Yes, I agree. I do think the Republicans are in danger in that race. And I think along with that, you know, that could kind of align with the governor's race being more contested than what we've seen in recent years. If you see Shamari Figures come out with a victory come November, I think that in that situation, you could also see Doug Jones winning in that congressional district. And then when the governor's race could get interesting is if Jones is performing not well, but if he's meeting numbers that he saw in 2017 against Roy Moore, if he's seeing similar numbers to that in some of the rural counties in Alabama, where instead of getting 10 or 15, he's getting 20% or 25%, and then a strong performance in the South Alabama congressional race, along with the influx of people in Madison County, I think it could tighten up the governor's race a little bit more than Republicans are going to be comfortable with.
Yeah, and I also think these growing counties and these two college counties, Lee and Tuscaloosa, are trending more and more blue. That's not talked about a whole lot. I mean, Lee County used to be like one of the most reliably red counties in the state, and that's trending blue. And then you start looking at Birmingham and some of the over-the-mountain suburbs, the Vestavias and Mount Brooks. These are places where I think just the Republican Party as a whole really got to take seriously, especially this is like your real – the best stress test they'll have is, you know, the 7-year itch scenario with a incumbent Republican in a second term, and you know, those headwinds nationally. This is the biggest test for Republicans probably since that 17 special.
Yes, definitely. This is going to be the biggest test Republicans have had in Alabama, certainly in a decade.
Yeah, and so, you know, what do you do there? And I mean, we have a new chairman, but is this a Republican party? This isn't Bill Canary and Mike Hubbard plotting and incentivizing legislative races with a real, you know, game. This seems, I don't know if they're, you know, this is the kind of challenge that the current Republican Party apparatus is really game tested for.
Yeah, it's definitely challenging. A lot of the issues I feel like are driven down from the national level, just as far as everything going on with the cost of living that's affecting everyday Americans and Alabamians, gas prices. I think all that is kind of driven down to where it is resulting in even in contested general elections here in Alabama, along with the influx of people we've seen in North Alabama contested congressional race in South Alabama. There's just a lot of things that's all coming together that's giving the Democrats, specifically Doug Jones, a lot of momentum. I don't see the other Democrats on the ballot. I mean, you know, with Commissioner Agriculture, Attorney General, Lieutenant Governor, they might get a little bit more than they have in previous elections, but I don't see any of those races, you know, being up in the air for Republicans. But I do think if any race, not, I don't want to say in danger, but in danger of being closer than what's comfortable is going to be at the top of the ballot.
Inside the you know, if we're like watching football, like a point spread or something, that you really take the underdog here if you're betting the spread with Doug Jones. The other thing, Sam, some of these legislative races, I think one in particular might be North Alabama, Tom Butler's old seat. What could happen there? I don't know. Andrew Jones and he's got the battles incumbent, not incumbent, independent. He's having to face some of these are something to watch as well.
Senate 10, I think, is going to be the most interesting, outside of Madison County, that's going to be the most interesting local race on the ballot, with Andrew Jones facing the independent challenger, Jesse Battles, who was removed from the ballot by the Republican Party a few months back. And I think Battles is going to kind of benefit off of some of the things that we've talked about. For one, in Gadsden, you have a Democrat as the mayor of Gadsden. There's Democrats in that area. I would imagine that Jesse Battles is going to be 80% among Democrats. And then the thing is, not only is he going to do that, but he's going to perform extremely well among Republican voters. So I think Andrew Jones has serious problems with Jesse Battles challenging him for Senate District 10 over in the Etowah County area.
Yeah, and you know, Senator Jones, I think one of his hurdles, it's just so out of the norm for that district to go with the Cherokee County guy and not an Etowah County guy, because all the populations in Gadsden, it's not in his neck of the woods. He doesn't really have the friends and neighbors advantage, or whatever you want to call it, that I think Battles could have. Battles is a guy that people will know in that area.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely, all the campaign material he puts out has, just on social media, has a ton of interaction, which the thing is, we've seen in recent cycles where social media doesn't always trend to actual votes, like we saw with Jared Hudson, the United States Senate race. But I'll be honest, I feel like Jesse Battles is going to win that election. I feel like that he's going to convert along a lot of the momentum that we have seen him have with attraction on social media. We saw poll numbers in that race in the primary election. I actually projected for Andrew Jones to lose to Amy Minton. I was wrong on that projection, but I'll tell you this. Before Jesse Battles was removed from the ballot, he was performing way better than Minton was, or Andrew Jones, in polling numbers. I do think Jones could overperform some of the polling that I have seen just because of what happened in the primary election, but I don't think it's going to be enough to overcome what Battles is going to be bringing this November.
Joined by Sam Roberts from Coleman Daily here on the program for just a couple more minutes. What do you do if you're Republicans? It feels like to me the race with Jones and Tuberville, that Jones is doing a lot of campaigning. And we had Dick Brubaker on last week, and he's like, I sure wish Tommy would get it in gear here and really, use some of his war chest and get out there and campaign and start talking about these things. Because right now, he's doing a little bit. He's doing some media. But he'll speak at a Republican Women's Club or something like that. But it just doesn't feel like that's 100% effort right now.
Yeah, it feels like at the moment that they're treating the election like they've already won it. They're only going to the major events, the summer dinner with the Alabama Republican Party. They're not attending a lot of local events, not hitting the ground super hard as far, at least at the top with Tuberville. And at the same time, you see Doug Jones out working every day, whether you agree with him or not. He is definitely hitting the campaign trail hard. And I think that if I was Senator Tuberville, I would focus more on issues that are impacting everyday Alabamians. I think the data center situation was a major mistake for the Tuberville campaign. And I think he just needs to touch on more things that are affecting Alabamians and their pockets every single day.
Yeah, because he's, there's like we're warning about Sharia law or, some of these hot buttons, and maybe they work. But I think like something a little more policy, local policy oriented. And like you said, the data center stuff was just why did you feel compelled to come out and start talking about it so vocally and so passionately even? It's a turnoff to a lot of voters.
Yes, it's that has definitely been a major issue, and that gave Doug Jones a huge boost early on in this campaign. And I think Doug Jones has been gaining off of that with working on the ground. And while Tuberville's kind of been sitting around waiting for November, I would expect for the Tuberville campaign to get it in gear to work hard leading into the election. But I think that we don't just need to take this election for granted that it's already won. Senator Tuberville has to get out and work hard to ensure this Republican victory, along with the other candidates up and down the ballot on the GOP.
Hey, Sam, we got to leave it there, but you're always very kind to make time for this program. Let's do it again soon.
Yes, sir.
All right, Sam Roberts from the Coleman Daily. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
And they still aren't seen.
I gave you my heart, and I tried to make you happy. And you gave me nothing in return. You know it ain't so hard to say, would you please just go away?
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning, 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is hit me up on the text line. Mike, what's your opinion on truly conservative governors like DeSantis banning and removing license plate readers while Alabama's doubling down and praising them for the kids, of course? Is this another example of how Alabama is always behind on conservative issues? This is the reality, guys. The Alabama legislature is not conservative. It's a center right. It's not liberal. It's not woke. It's not, but it's sort of cronyistic, oligarchical, but it's not conservative. Okay. The conservative on these token social issues that, that are 90-10 issues. But when it comes to like your freedoms that aren't necessarily tied to something like, here's a great example. The permitless carry fight. How much of a lift was that to get through the Alabama legislature? And that's a freedom issue. That's a Second Amendment issue. And how hard was it to get that done? Because it should have been a no-brainer. But that's, Mike, that's it. It's not even the governor. Now, look, the states, I think this has something to do with it, maybe, potentially. We're still transitioning. You had Democrat control of the Alabama legislature from the end of Reconstruction all the way to 2010. It's been 16 years. But these legacy attitudes, mentalities still exist in Montgomery, and Montgomery has not overcome them yet because they were just there for so long. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. What you doing?